If you have your Bibles, if you would turn to John chapter 6, we'll be in the middle of that chapter. John chapter 6, we're continuing our study through John. Just a moment, we'll read a few verses, starting in verse, I won't tell you just yet. When you are living your life according to the purpose for which God has called you, and you don't see the results you expect, upon what will you base your life? When you're doing exactly what the Lord wants you to do, and the very thing that you're doing is not affecting the results that you're called to affect, where's your confidence? Upon what do you stand? Because you will probably face opposition in your life every day. And so where is your confidence? So I have one question that I hope you will be able to answer by the time we're finished this morning is, do you believe that Jesus can do the will of God? I know the obvious answer seems so blatantly clear, but I just want you to ask you again, do you really believe Jesus can do the will of God? Do you believe that? And exactly what is it about God's will that you can remain unshakably confident that he can do? What is God's will, and how do we know Jesus can do exactly what it is that God called him to do? I'm assuming if you're a believer here, you probably do believe that Jesus can do God's will. And maybe you're not a believer, and you're wondering, I don't even believe there is a God. Well, Jesus is talking to you too this morning as we read these verses. Just want to read them, and then I'll go back and give you a little bit of the context of framing what's happening. But we're just going to read a few verses this morning, five, in fact, John 6, 35 to 40. Let's read them together. These are the words of Jesus. He said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall never hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you, you have seen me and you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but will raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Maybe you have heard people say, I just need to see it in order to believe it. If you can just show me, I'll believe it. If I can see it, touch it, I'll believe. You can show me Jesus, I'd gladly believe. You can show me and prove to me he rose from the dead, I will gladly put my faith in him. Seeing is believing, right? We hear that a lot. And it's just not true. Seeing things does not lead a person to saving faith. The context of what we have here is, here's Jesus. We've just come back from feeding 5,000 men, not counting women and children. So estimates are probably maybe 10 to 15,000 people have been on the other side of the Sea of Galilee with Jesus. He fed them, then they got in the boat, they came back across the Sea of Galilee, and they looked for Jesus and then engaged him in this conversation. And he begins the conversation with them, begins speaking to them, and as he is speaking to them, he suddenly realizes, in verse 35, we'll see, they're thinking about the wrong things. And so Jesus is striving to get them to think about spiritual things. Everybody's head is so wound up about material things that they cannot see their need for something more. They do not see their need for the spiritual. Jesus fed them. They're full. They had a great supper. They followed him back and they ask him, can you do another sign? If you really are the Son of God, show us something else. Give us breakfast. We're hungry. And so Jesus says, every day, look at verse 34. "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said, "The real and true bread comes down and takes care of all of your needs." And they said, "Well, let us have that bread always. Give us an unending supply of barley bread so we never have to go to the store again. Don't have to waste all the time baking it. Give us that kind of bread." And Jesus says in verse 35, "I'm the bread of life." It's me. "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Jesus is, I mean, these are, do you sometimes read the Bible and you think, this is amazing that he would say this? It's shocking sometimes, the things that he says, jarring. And I think he does this, these words that Jesus spoken are kind of, I don't know, a verbal inducement of spiritual labor pains. He says things in order to get people to begin to think about spiritual life. We're so concerned with physical life, the things that we can see, we don't realize our need for spiritual truth and spiritual life. And so Jesus says things that captures our attention and forces us to think, what on earth are you talking about? You're the bread of life? And the irony is, of course, he's not talking about earthly things. He's talking about heavenly things. And he's using the miracle of providing the barley bread to 5,000 plus people in order to demonstrate to them, I can give to you all that you need. I am for you spiritually sustaining sustenance and food. I'm life for you. Come to me. This is Jesus talking. And wouldn't you think everybody would believe him? I mean, he's the Son of God, right? He's quite an amazing guy. He's gifted. He's talented. He's unique. Surely if Jesus showed up and preached in Boston, wouldn't there be a revival? Look at verse 36. "But I said to you, you have seen me and you do not believe." This is the first of about seven I am sayings. Jesus, I am the bread of life. And he says, I'm the bread of life. I am offering you an invitation. Will you come to me? You'll never thirst. Believe in me, you'll never hunger. And he says, and I'm looking at you and you don't believe me. You're seeing me and you're not believing in me. What on earth would you do if you're preaching to hundreds of people, thousands of people? You're Jesus now for a moment. You're preaching and you're looking in their eyes and it's a brick wall. Glazed over eyes who are totally unconcerned about eternity when all they can think of is, I need breakfast. On what will the foundation of our Lord Jesus Christ be based? What will give him hope to keep preaching? What will give you, teacher, the ability to keep pouring your life out in your classroom for your students so they get it? At work, what will you do to keep pouring yourself out so that your coworkers can see there's something more? What are you living your life for? Jesus is called to preach the gospel. He's called to help people understand eternal things, which is all of our calling if you're one of his children here today. This is for all of us this morning. This is our calling, to spread the news and share the gospel. And as we saw last week, not to quit your jobs and go live on a mountain and wait for Jesus to come back. We're to be salt and light at work everywhere we are. We are to help people understand the truth of eternity. And so Jesus is saying, you're not believing me. You're seeing me. You've seen miracle after miracle. At the beginning of chapter 6, he said, you saw me heal the sick and raise people up who were paralyzed. We've seen incredible miracles. He's fed thousands of people. They have seen everything. And this morning they show up, they talk to him and says, we need to see something more. Do it again, Jesus. Do another trick. Give us breakfast. And he says, you're not believing. You see me, you see everything you need to see, you ought to see, that should cause you to believe, but you're seeing and you're not believing. So seeing is not believing. It's not enough. Simply presenting someone with the truth, truthful evidence, is not enough for them to arrive at the right verdict. something much more must happen. In other words, simply telling someone the gospel does not necessarily mean they embrace it, does it? So what will keep you sharing the gospel? How many of you have, your family members, right? Guys, if Jesus has done all that he has for you, and you know in your heart, my life has been changed, don't you want to go and tell somebody? Don't you want people to experience the same joy that you've experienced? Remember, if you don't, if that doesn't resonate with you, think back to when you first became a believer. When you were excited about Jesus. When your heart was on fire for the Lord. And you wanted to tell everyone. What keeps you going when you are so excited about someone who has changed your life, forgiven all of your sin, removed all the filth in your life, said, I am willing to hug you and embrace you as a son or a daughter. I forget the past. Come to me. When you experience that love and that joy and that renewal, and yet you go and you tell somebody and they say, that's great, that's for you. I need to go get a chocolate milk. What keeps you going? What keeps us encouraged enough to share the gospel? What foundation are we standing on? Jesus stands upon the sovereignty of God. He stands upon the sovereignty of his Father. He has said, I'm the bread of life. Just come to me and I will take care of your hunger. If you believe in me, I will take care of your thirst. And nobody's believing it. It looks like he's a failure. It looks like the mission that God has called him to is not going to happen because they've seen incredible miracles and they're just not accepting it. What has to happen? Jesus says, come to me, believe in me. In verse 35, I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. So just let's be real clear. This is two ways of saying the same thing. If you come to me, you'll never hunger, and believe in me and never thirst is the same way of saying, if you come to me in faith, I will satisfy the longings of your soul. Come to me in faith and I will save your life. I will give you eternal life. So these are both ways of saying the same thing. In other words, it's, I will take care of the longings of your soul. Call them hunger, call them thirst. Jesus can supply the longings of your soul if you come to him, and he will give you eternal life. So those are just two ways of saying the same thing. In chapter 1, you remember, Jesus said, or John says, to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. So coming to Jesus, believing Jesus, and receiving Jesus are all synonyms for the same thing. It's exercising faith in Christ. That's what that means. So I'm going to use that interchangeably as we go forward. Coming to him and believing him. So if you have ever failed, ever felt like a failure in sharing the gospel, in sharing the important things of your life, in expressing your calling and giftedness, and you feel like you're hitting a brick wall, if you have been there and you're frustrated, what keeps you going? What will keep you going? And for Jesus, it is the sovereignty of God that is upon which he stands. So he shocks us for just a minute, and he shares some staggering things. Maybe in your opinion, very controversial things, but Jesus, this is what he shares. So look at verse 37. After 36, he says, you have seen me and you're not believing. What does he say next? Verse 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. So Jesus, he's looking at this crowd and he's demonstrating miracles to them. He's showing them signs that ought to cause them to believe, and they're not believing. And so it's almost as though he expresses his own encouragement. I just kind of wonder if he was talking to himself when he said this. He's looking at these people pouring his life out for them, and then finally he reminds himself, some things I need to remember. Some encouragement I need to remember. All that the Father gives to me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will not cast out. Which gives us a little bit of a hint into what happens in salvation. So Jesus tells us here that there are, in this verse, we see kind of two realms of activity. There is a heavenly realm of activity, and there's an earthly realm of activity. Look at it first. All that the Father gives to me will come to me. So Jesus pulls back the curtain on what happens when a person comes to faith. So there is the coming. Whoever comes to me, That's the human perspective. This is our choosing to follow Jesus. It's our exercising our will. It's our seeing Jesus as perfectly beautiful and the all-sustaining, all-satisfying Savior and saying, I'm coming to Him. I did this when I was 8 years old. When I was 8 years old, I got a picture of Jesus that said, Todd, you are a sinner, you are lost, and you deserve to die in your sins. And a picture of Christ was held out before me as a Savior who could redeem me and who would take away my sins because He paid the penalty for my sins. He died for Todd's sins. At 8 years old, I realized that, and I said, I want you, Jesus. So I said, will you please save me? Save me. I don't want to be separated from you. I want to be with you when I die. I want to spend eternity with you. Will you take care of me? And I entrusted my soul into Him. That was me coming to Jesus. A preacher portrayed a picture of the Savior that I fell in love with and captured my heart. So I went to Him. What was behind that? What was behind that? In the heavenly realm, Jesus speaks of a transaction. So on the earthly perspective, there was a transaction, me giving myself to Him. But behind that, Jesus points to something else. And it's the first phrase. All that the Father gives to me will come to me. So there is a giving of certain people from God the Father to the Son. All that the Father gives to me will come to me. So there's this heavenly transaction which happened before I experienced that coming. This giving of a people by God the Father to His Son. And Jesus says all of those people who have been given to the Father will come. So this heavenly transaction happens, which then gives way and brings about the earthly effort of me exercising my will. So God gives a people to His Son as a gift. And we think about church as the bride of Christ, right? The church. Church means people. We went over this a couple days ago with someone. Everywhere in Scripture when the word church appears, it means God's people. It doesn't mean a building. So don't think buildings when you hear church. Think people. But God gives people to His Son as a gift. And then that's the heavenly transaction. And then here on our side, as we're hearing the gospel and hearing the truth about Jesus be preached, it's as though God were then giving His Son to us to be received. So there's God is the ultimate giver. He gives people to His Son to be saved, and all of those who are given to Him will come. And for us, we hear this as, I am giving you an opportunity for salvation through my Son. Will you receive redemption through Him? And Jesus gives us wonderful certainty about all of those people coming. And He talks about this idea of a people being given to Him a lot. If you have your Bible, flip over a few chapters into chapter 17 of John. I just want to read this. This is Jesus' final words in John 17 as He is praying to His Father. And He talks about this a lot, this heavenly transaction of the giving of a people to Him from God the Father. Look at verse 2, and this is Jesus praying. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that your Son may glorify you. Since you have given Him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given Him. See, they're God giving people to Him. And verse 6, I've manifested your name to all the people whom you have given me out of the world. They're yours. Yours they were, and you gave them to me. And verse 7, and now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. And look at verse 9, I'm praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me. And then on down in verse 11, at the end of it, Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, those people. And then down in verse 24, Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am to see my glory. People, if you are among those given to Jesus, do you hear His love? His love for you who are given to Him. He wants you to be with Him. You're a treasure to Christ. People are a treasure, those whom have been given to Him. So we have this transaction in heaven that occurs, and also this earthly expression by us coming to Jesus. So both are mentioned, and John is completely content. And if we stumble over how do those two things work together, I just simply say it's simply stated. We have to come. We have to choose and exercise our faith, but something in heaven has already happened that we're not quite aware of. And evidently, Jesus wants us to have the confidence of knowing it's going to work out. All who are given will certainly come. So God is able to take care of his people. If you're here this morning, I hope you go away knowing unshakably that your soul is safe because Jesus lives. Because he is alive and can take care of all of his people. Job 42:2 says, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. The sovereignty of God ought to be like rock under our feet to enable us to keep moving in a world that resists hearing the gospel. We ought not to give up. Keep preaching the gospel because all of those who are given to Jesus will in fact come. That's what this says. And then, what will be Jesus' response to those who come? Last part of verse 37. Whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Never cast out. Are you coming to Jesus? Not just when you were 8. I keep coming. Every day I come and say, Jesus, you got to help me today. You got to carry me through. We keep coming. Are you coming in faith to Jesus? Because it doesn't end. It's not just one coming and that's it. You keep believing. Faith continues to grow. And you keep believing in the Lord. So he says, whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. If you come to Jesus in faith, he will never cast you out. Never, for all of eternity. Those are wonderful words. So those who come to Jesus as the true bread for eternal life will never be cast out. And they will forever receive the satisfaction of having the longings of their soul perpetually contented in Christ. That's what he's saying. Jesus said this again in John 10:27. Those who come to him are eternally secured to him. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Do you delight in knowing Jesus has got a hold of you? He is holding you in his hand. No one can rip apart his grip. And he says, not only are you in my hand, but the Father's hand as well. We are doubly grasped. Our souls are twice wrapped in the hands of God and secure. No one will pluck you out of the hand of God, is what John is saying. This truth is what Paul picks up and speaks of in Romans 8. In 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? What's the implication, just for a second, of those verses? That God's people will experience those things. God's people will experience tribulation. God's people will experience distress. Because in them, Paul is saying, even though you experience them, you will not be separated from the love of Christ. You might experience famine. You go without a job for a long time? Does that mean God's against you? No. Persecution. You're in church on Christmas Eve in Egypt and a bomb goes off in the back of the church. Does that mean God's against you? No. What will separate you? All of these experiences, nakedness, danger, sword. Verse 38, for I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you don't know you're secure in the Lord, you will be one timid Christian. You won't boldly proclaim the gospel because it doesn't mean much to you. If you're firmly convinced, God has a hold of me and he will never let me go, that will free you to be radically obedient in proclaiming the gospel and living your life in a risky way to glorify the name of Jesus. Because you know he's got you. So you can't be lost. Keep going. Verse 38. Why is it that Jesus will never cast them out? Why will Jesus never cast out those who come to him? Verse 38, Jesus says, I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. What is the purpose of Jesus' life? The ultimate purpose of Jesus' life is to do the Father's will. And so my question to you at the beginning, do you believe he can do the will of the Father? Can Jesus do God's will? Okay, you said yes. Sure, we believe that. Then what is it that is God's will? Jesus says, I've come down from heaven, which, by the way, this statement is going to get him in a lot of trouble. Saying, I've come down from heaven, I mean, say that at work. See what it gets you. Say that on the train. It's going to get him in trouble because the legalistic fault finders say, you grew up in Nazareth. Know your mom and dad. Okay, we'll look at that later. But what is the will of him who sent him? What is the will of God? Verse 39. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. So what is God's will? What is it that is God's will for Jesus to do? That he lose nothing of all of the people who have been given to him. All of those who have been given to Christ by God, it is God's will that he is never losing any of them. So the deepest reason why you continue to believe in Jesus and that your soul remains secure is because Jesus is doing God's will. It's God's will that you not be lost. Those who receive the Holy Spirit and are joined by faith to Christ, it is God's will that you never be lost. And Jesus says, it's God's will that I keep you and I will raise it up on the last day. So your confidence ultimately in being able to continue the walk of faith is not in your ability to keep believing in Jesus. It is in Jesus' ability to keep holding on to you. We are called to keep believing. But how many of you struggle with doubt? Do you ever doubt? Am I really one of the called? One of the chosen sheep? Am I really? I mean, if I struggle with sin the way I struggle, how do I know I'm really one of those whom Jesus has a hold of? Do you ever struggle with that? What will keep you from despair? What's the answer? How do you know you're one of those people? Question is, are you going to Jesus? Are you continually believing him? Are you running to him? Are you going to him as the bread that will satisfy your soul? Do you trust in him? Are you casting yourself on him? The ones who come are the ones who have been given to him, and they will come. So are you coming? Are you coming to him? Keep coming. So Jesus, he does have the ability to do God's will. And he says, I will raise you up on the last day. It's God's will that if you are called into a relationship with God the Father, that you ultimately experience the goodness of the restored kingdom. I will raise him up on the last day. You come to me for eternal life. If you come to me for the all-satisfying bread of your soul, I will raise you up on the last day. So you need not fear death. You need not be afraid to die. You need not be afraid to lay down your life for the sake of the gospel. Because Jesus says, I will raise you up on the last day. It's a fact. So how do we experience this resurrection to eternal life? Look at verse 40. This is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. Do you get the idea that this promise, I will raise you up on the last day, is important to Jesus? He said it twice now. I will raise you up. I will raise you up on the last day. Because why? Because it's the will of the Father. And how does that happen? By looking to Jesus. Everyone who looks on the Son, not just looks, right? There's one step further than just looking. This is the problem that Jesus is speaking of in the beginning. The crowd is just looking at him and not seeing beyond the physical. All they can think about is breakfast. So are you looking at Jesus and believing and trusting and resting your soul in him? That's what Jesus is calling to. So this crowd, they were seeing, but not believing. And so are you. if you are looking on the Son and believing in him, Jesus offers you a promise. One day I will raise you up. And what the believer in Christ does, simply accepts Jesus at his word and rests in that promise and rests in his ability to do his word and rests in his ability to get you there, to keep you continuing to have faith. You stop striving. Do you remember what they said when Jesus said, I'm the bread of life? They said, well, what do we have to do the works of God? Do you remember they asked that question? And remember Jesus' response? You got to join a church. You got to have involvement in 12 different ministries. You got to attend every Sunday. I'm being facetious. What did he say? Believe me. Believe in the one whom God has sent. Who is the one who has been sent by God? Jesus is. And all who come to Jesus will be raised up at the last day. Are you resting in that? Can you pour your life out for that truth in order to proclaim that? Can you struggle with Jesus, with these kind of spiritual birth pains, to help people embrace spiritual truth by coming to Jesus as the all-satisfying Savior who can give the bread of eternal life? We're midwives, aren't we? Helping birth Christ in other people by listening patiently, answering questions, being like Jesus, continuing to talk at them when they're glassy-eyed. There's a great confidence. Everyone who has been given to Christ will come. And how will they come? By hearing these truths. By hearing that God is sovereign. By hearing that he will accomplish his will. And so I can rest in his will. So that's the invitation today. Do you believe him? Do you just trust in him and rest in him? So this is for believers and non-believers. Believers, are you confident that God will accomplish his will through your life if we're being obedient? God will save people through you if you talk about him. Nobody gets saved without we share the gospel. There's no faith without hearing. Hearing comes by the word of the gospel. We have to share the gospel. And it's through sharing the gospel that people come to believe. And you can talk to your family members forever and ever and ever. Keep sharing. And simply, I'm inviting you, don't give up. Jesus would invite you, put your confidence in the sovereignty of God, that at the moment he has chosen for someone to put their faith, if we're telling the gospel and we're continuing to share the truth, that person will believe if they've been given to Jesus. And so I pray these truths will grant you humble, courageous ability to speak the gospel. We don't know who's been given to Jesus. It's not our job to find out. It's our job to speak the truth in love and to share the gospel. Because it's through the exercise of the will, when we portray Jesus as the beautiful, all-satisfying Savior that he is, and we present him in truth, people are drawn. People are going to be drawn to him. People are going to come to understand who he is and are going to give their lives to him. Be bold for the gospel. Be courageous. Don't give up in the face of opposition. Jesus didn't, and he grounded himself in the sovereignty of the Lord God Almighty. So, keep speaking the truth. All people who have been given to Jesus will come as God has ordained through the hearing of the gospel, and they will be believed. They will believe. So as we read these verses, it tells us how to be saved, which is coming to Jesus. The deepest reason you were saved is because you were given to him by God the Father. And the reason that you remain saved is that God is able through Jesus to do all of his will. Jesus has the power to do the will of God the Father. Do you believe that? Keep believing the words of Christ. And may this week you be a blessing to someone as you share the truth. So let's pray together. Father, I ask that these words would give grounding under our feet in your ability through the presence of your Spirit, that Jesus would accomplish all of his will. Jesus has said that all people who have the Father have given to him will come. And when they come, they will never be cast out. Jesus came for the purpose of doing the will of the Father. And it is your will, Father, that everyone who would look at Jesus and say, I trust in him as the all-satisfying Savior of my soul, those people would be given eternal life. And Jesus says, I will raise them up on the last day. So give every one of us, Lord, the ability to look to Jesus continually, to keep believing, to not rest in our own strength, but be completely confident in the strength of the Lord and the power of his might. Jesus, give faith to those this morning who need faith. And grant encouragement to your children who need encouragement this morning. Through Christ, I ask all these things. Amen.